all things New Orleans Saints.
This is Who Dat Discussion.
Who Dat? Who Dat? Who Dat? Who Dat? Who Dat say they gonna be them Saints?
Powered by Overtime Media.
Hello and welcome back into another off-season edition here at the Who Dat Discussion. As always, I'm your host, Andrew Galata, and this is going to be a very interesting episode, as we're just going to grade the off-season. We're going to rank the signings and grade them, every single one. Basically, what we're going to do, we're going to have a rest category, where it's like the rest of the signings, and these are going to be the people that are more depth pieces for the Saints. I mean, you're looking at guys like Noah Spence, DJ Swearinger, and those are kind of the rest. And then, like, we have five signings that were, like, main signings for the Saints and that were really additions. The other guys, more of depth, the guys they brought back. I mean, obviously, these guys count and they matter, and they're probably going to matter in the season. They'll hopefully make some plays for the Saints, but they're minor deals. They're all veteran minimums. It's kind of stuff like that. And that's kind of how I did the classification right away. So I think we're just going to get right into it. It was really interesting. I thought the Saints had a good offseason. I said A-. I feel like that's their grade. They are missing that linebacker, which is, it could be an issue. I mean, I told you guys over and over again, and if the Saints don't get a linebacker in the draft, I mean, they may be in some big issues. I think they're going to get a linebacker in the draft, I think, in the first round, and then he's gonna come in there and start, I think. So it is very, very interesting when looking at it, but that's why I don't say that the Saints got an A grade. I think they have an A-, and then to get to that A grade, if they signed a linebacker, or maybe if they drafted a big, if they drafted a Patrick Queen type, I'd be giving him an A too. Now to get that A+, I would have to, you would have to get a linebacker in free agency, and then also either and just get a nice impact piece with that 24th pick. But it's gonna be interesting. I mean, I'm looking forward to the draft. I think the Saints are gonna move into the second round, so that's kind of what I'm thinking. We'll see what happens though. It's gonna be a very interesting situation, but we're just going to rank basically the free agent period as of now, grading it, and if any more signings come in, we'll just grade them and put them into this ranking as well. But let's start off with the rest here. So this is going to be the people that basically the veteran minimum signings definitely matter, definitely important, but this is just more depth veteran minimum signings. Noah Spence, I thought this was pretty big for defensive line help, had a pretty good season, as we said, back in 2016, his rookie season. Ever since then, he's been battling injuries and stuff. Maybe with a fresh start, he said he loves the Saints' identity and what they really are trying to do. I mean, maybe he has a big breakout season, but again, low risk, high reward. If he doesn't work out, you have a lot of other guys with the depth at his kind of level. And I mean, to me, if he can pull out and be like a George Johnson type, I don't know if you guys remember him back in 2017, that would be pretty good, and it's helpful. I mean, for sure, if there are injuries and stuff like that, he could definitely be a player that you can plug in for a little bit. DJ Swearinger is our next guy. More of a depth veteran safety presence. I like that he's there because he does fill a need that the Saints have, and that's really to get the turnovers. And yeah, he's not going to start, but if a safety gets hurt, if Marcus Williams gets hurt, he'll come in here and he can, look, he has some difficulties at some things, not the best cover guy, but he can get turnovers and he can play like that. And that's really big. And he's obviously getting up in age, so that's going to hurt him against some guys if he's covering guys one-on-one. But if he's playing that ball hawking position, he's a very good safety. And he also gives help to the younger guys around there. He's going to help Marcus Williams. He really helped PJ Williams when he was playing safety. So a lot of interesting stuff there from Swearinger. And he played one game for the Saints, and that was against the Panthers in Week 17. And he actually had a pretty good game. So definitely look out for that there. I think that was a good depth signing for him coming back. He said he loves the Saints' identity as well. Loves the locker room, which is obviously really big. A few special teamers with Justin Hardy and JT Gray. I mean, these guys, A signings. I mean, you need these guys on the team. I mean, the Saints won a lot of games last year. They stole them off special teams. They may have to do that again in 2020, and they're going to need Hardy and they're going to need Gray. Both guys are A+ special teams player. JT Gray was a second team All-Pro for special teams. Both these guys are really good at their craft. And also, I like Justin Hardy to be in that cornerback slot. A lot of people, I mean, I think they're kind of selling him short there. I think he can do it, and it's something I've thought about. I think obviously he's not going to go out and start 16 games right now for the Saints, obviously not. But in a game or two, he can come in and be good. I mean, he's been able to, when he's put in, he's been able to make some impact plays, which is, to me, very, very important. And I don't think you should overstate his importance for this team, because he's definitely a good player. Shouldn't understate his value to this team, because he's a player also in the locker room. He's really helped. and that's obviously really big there. One more guy who we just signed today, depth guard and center, we got Cameron Tom back, which is great. Got injured last year, but people are saying he was coming on last year, coming on really good, especially in training camp and the beginning of preseason before he got hurt for the year, out for the year. And it's another depth signing. I love that signing because now it's another player that you could battle in training camp, kind of push Andrus Peat a little bit, even though he got a big contract. So just, like, there are other people here. And, you know, he's going to be battling for a roster spot with Will Clapp and all those guys. So, and he's a type of player that coming in, he's a good depth piece, and I think he was getting better each year. To me, his physical attributes are there. Now you got to get him with that technique and that stuff comes over time. And I do think that Tom, with the right coaching, could be a starter in this league. We'll see if it's with the Saints. We'll have to see. But he was getting better before he got hurt. We'll see how that translates once the 2020 training camp and regular season starts. So that's obviously really interesting there. So now we're gonna move over to our top five signings, our last five signings left. These were the impact signings. These were the big ones. And these are the players that are going to make the biggest impacts, in my opinion, to this 2020 roster. And number five coming in and last in this is going to be Andrus Peat, guard. And this is not just for the quality of player. This is also going to be just the deal that I thought, the signing, what grade do I give him, and that's kind of that stuff, the fit and all that stuff, not just the how good the player is. And Andrus Peat, look, he's the fifth on this list. You give him a five-year, $57.5 million contract. He only has a cap of $3.6 million this year, which is good. But I'm going to give it a grade of a C here. You could even ask. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if people grade it lower. Look, now the Saints don't have to worry about the guard position, which is good. And it's definitely something that's, I mean, at least you don't have to worry about it. So at least you paid him, and it's dumb. But he's got to get better. And he may. He's got all the attributes in the world. We talked about it. You want to talk about a guy that has physical attributes. I was just talking about Cameron Tom. I mean, Andrus Peat, he's got all of them. You know, once you get him out in space, you could see why he's a first-round pick. And it's at 75% of the time, he's great. He's a great guard, Pro Bowl guard, as we've seen. Then you have that 25% of the time where he's just awful, and it's lost them game. And those 25% is always against the best talent. He got burned by Aaron Donald, got burned by the Vikings, and they're a great D-line with Everson Griffin, Danielle Hunter, and those guys up front for the Vikings. So, again, he hopefully will get better. I mean, you're hoping that next year he comes in and takes that next step. And if he does, this is a great signing. But there is a big question mark there, because if he pulls what he did in 2019 and 2018, you have big issues. Now, he played really good in 2017, had a good PFF grade. He was pretty solid for the Saints. But again, besides that, it's tough. It's a very tough situation. The Saints obviously saw something in him and gave him a big contract, the biggest contract of a guard this offseason. To me, it's the worst move the Saints did, and it's definitely the most questionable move, and we're going to have to keep on talking about it. Yes, he was a Pro Bowler the last 2 years. That's important, but again, it's something you got to look at if you're the Saints, and like, if you're going to give out the money to a player, was Andrus Peat the right player? And it's just, I mean, it's interesting, because if you're the Saints, you want to keep everybody. And I understand you want to keep everybody, but at a certain point, you have to move on for some people that have been dead weight. And Andrus Peat has hurt this team in a big way sometimes, lost them games. So, again, we'll see what happens. And, again, if you put that 75% up to when he's an Pro Bowl player to like 90%, 95%, he'll be really good. I think he just has to work on that, and we'll see what happens. I mean, he could end up being a really linchpin piece of this offensive line for the next 5 years, but there is a question mark there, so I think that's definitely something you should be looking at, and that's why I'm going to give them a C grade. Four on here is going to be PJ Williams. He signed a one-year, $2 million deal, all guaranteed, to play basically the slot for the Saints, or at least the depth slot for the Saints. I mean, a lot of people don't like PJ Williams. I'm going to give this grade a B, and this is why. It's a solid move. Yes, it's not an all-star move. It's not a splash move, but it was a move I actually wanted the Saints to make. Because he plays a slot, he plays it at a starter level. When you look around the league, he definitely plays it at a good level, a solid level. You could count on him to play. I mean, he's a physical player. He fits the Saints mold very well. He's also pretty good at ball hawking when you're looking for fumbles and that stuff. He's been able to rip the fumbles. He has a couple of picks as well. That's been really good. He's usually really good at tackling. Was not so good at tackling last year, but in the past, he was really good. 2018, he was really good. I mean, he's a player that Look, I mean, he just plays the slot to me well. It's a good value signing, and he had 8 starts last year. In my opinion, I think the Saints will start Malcolm Jenkins in the slot, which we'll get into later, and or maybe they're going to do like a little, like, Malcolm will get some guys and some teams, and then they'll game plan with PJ Williams with other guys. That could happen as well, but really, I think the Saints upgraded at the slot because they brought back their starter from last year, which was Williams, but they also bring in, I think, really a Pro Bowl level slot defender in Malcolm Jenkins, as he can do so many things at a Pro Bowl level. So, again, this is a solid signing, solid depth signing. I mean, just because it's fourth on this list and kind of towards the bottom doesn't mean it's a bad signing. And I thought it was a great signing. Obviously, I mean, PJ Williams is no all-star player here. But, again, he's a player, solid player, quality player. And he's going to come up here and play a solid slot corner. And you can kind of count on him at this point. And you know what he's really good at? He's really good at climbing back from adversity and that stuff. And that's really helpful as well. And he sometimes makes some splash plays. Sometimes he gets beat. But I think overall, and also he can play the outside as well. Really good guy to have, in my opinion, to just move him around. The versatility is there. Could play a lot of different positions. He's a starting level at the slot to me. He's a backup level at some other positions as well. Can play safety in a pinch. That's, to me, is really big. And to me, that's really important. Moving to our third move this free agency, top three. Now we're in the top three. And this was kind of a surprise. A lot of people thought he was going to leave, but David Onyemata is staying with the Saints at that three-tech defensive tackle position. 3 years, $27 million. $3.5 million cap hit this season. And here's the thing with David Onyemata. A lot of people saw a lot of promise in him, and he's another guy with the physical attributes. You're thinking he's gotten better every single year. You're thinking one of these years he's just going to knock on the door. I mean, this year he only had a 55 PFF grade. In 2018, he had 83. He did a really good job when Sheldon Rankins went down with injury in 2018. Really, there was like no loss of play. This year, I thought he played solid. I don't think as good in 2018, but he still did a very good job in basically almost, not a full starting role, but he definitely did a solid job. I think he's going to continue getting better. He's got the attributes, and he's just learning the game of football. I mean, a guy that didn't learn how to play football until he was late as a teenager, so he's really just learning the game. And again, this is now going to be, usually when you talk about really a three-year progression, and after that third year, that's basically what they're going to be. I don't apply that to David Onyemata just because he's learning the game still. Maybe it's a five-year progression for him, and that the Saints locked him up for 3 years. I think you're seeing a steady increase in his play every year, and you're just hoping 1 year the home run hits. And I think it could be this year, because I saw a lot of stats that, look, they're underlying stats and they may not matter, but it showed a lot of promise. I mean, last year, he had 11 QB hits, which is a lot. I mean, if those QB hits, even half of them were converted into sacks, you're looking at a guy that who had 3.5 sacks last year. If 6 more, he has a 9 sack season. That's something really interesting that you have to look at, as he's just right there, and he's just missing them, and he's got a really good move. He's really athletic, and he's a player that we'll see if the Saints re-sign Sheldon Rankins, but I mean, again, I count on him to start, and then if the Saints keep Sheldon Rankins, that duo is amazing, and it's going to be one of the best in the league, and I think this year could be the year that Onyemata really pops off. And again, if he doesn't go off and the Saints still have Rankins this year, I think it's fine, and he's a great depth player, and he's a great backup there. So again, he gives the Saints a lot of versatility just by having two starting three techs is going to help you a ton this year and then in the years coming, because now you don't have to, you don't have to pay Sheldon Rankins if he's going to ask for this absorbent amount. We'll see what happens. And we know Sheldon Rankins gets hurt a lot. David Onyemata has been relatively healthy. That's also really big, as you want guys to stay healthy. And obviously you want to have some backup plans. And he's a really good backup plan to Sheldon Rankins, who obviously has played at a Pro Bowl level. And now we'll see if he can do that again. But then you're coming in with Onyemata. I mean, you think PJ Williams is a solid starter. I think he's a solid starter as well. Probably, I mean, obviously better than PJ Williams, in my opinion, at the positions they play. But people think, a lot of analysts think he's going to really pop off this year. And I think he could too. Overall grade, I'm going to give him a B+. I thought this was a solid signing. Did they overpay for him for a little? Yeah, I think you're kind of paying for his potential there. Because if he, let's say he grows into a high-end three tech here, you're looking at, this is a great signing. It's 3 years, $27 million. At worst, he's just a depth player, and yeah, you kind of overpaid for him a little bit, but I think the Saints are going to look for him to start next year. I think that's kind of the main thing. And, I mean, we'll have to see what happens. Maybe the Saints will keep both of them, but it's definitely something to look at. A very, very interesting signing there for the Saints. So before we get into our top two free agent signings this offseason, we are going to take a quick break. You are listening to the Who Dat Discussion Podcast.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Welcome back into the Who Dat discussion. And now we are going to do our last two rankings here for the top free agent signings. Two players left to rank here and grade. The two players that will be new to this team in 2020. Those are the big signings for the Saints. First, number two, Malcolm Jenkins. I'm going to give him an A-minus grade. 4 years, $32 million. He's a player that is just all over the field. And he's a player that's going to come in here. He's going to, first of all, the depth that he's going to be able to create, he'll be starting. Now you have other guys like PJ Williams, who's going to be able to play in a depth role. Same with Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, is going to be able to move him around a little more. And you're going to really be able to create a lot of depth just because how versatile Malcolm Jenkins is and how many different things he could do. And he could do all those things at such a high level. Great veteran, great presence in the locker room, could do so many different things. He's great in the slot, is a great strong safety in the box. I mean, just looking at these stats, you can really see. I mean, first PFF grade, 68.6 was last year. The year before, he was at 79. The year before that, 75. He's right around in those 70s, and I think it's going to help him a lot. 2018 was his best year. He really carried that defense, willed that Eagles defense to the playoffs, and played really good. And even last year, I mean, when you're looking at it, I mean, 8 pass defenses, 2.5 sacks. I mean, he's got 81 tackles. I mean, just create. I mean, 97 tackles the year before, 9 QB hits, 6 tackles for loss. It's just like so many great things, and that's just your. And it's he's a stat stuffer. And that's all you could say, and not in a way that like all he does is get stats. He's much more, but he fills the box score in so many different ways. And then also, he's such a big impact. I don't want to say these stat stuffer in a bad way, because that's usually used as a bad connotation. I think he fills up everything, and he does so many different things, and that's gonna help the Saints. Saints need that versatility. Saints need that leader in the secondary. Because in my opinion, if he plays for the Saints in 2017, the Saints don't have the Minnesota Miracle. I mean, and that's obviously really big. In 2018, I think you're just going to see less. In 2019, the Saints were hurt by the deep ball. I don't think it will be as much. The communication will be helped a ton. He knows the Saints system because he's been with the Saints before. I think that's really big as well. To me, this is a key signing. And people are going to be like, oh, well, why don't you give this an A? And I'm going to say because probably didn't have to replace Von Bell for him. Now, Von Bell, to me, is a great, strong safety, but he's going to give less versatility. And the one thing that Malcolm Jenkins brings is that he's a really good pass defender, and then Von Bell is a really good run defender, better run defender, I should say. And then the Saints have a lot of good run defenders from the secondary already. PJ Williams is a good run defender. And then also Chauncey Gardner-Johnson's a really good run defender. So was Lattimore. So you already have a lot of good run defenders in your secondary. So you can, I mean, still, Malcolm Jenkins is good, you know, run defender, but he's a much better pass defender as well than Von Bell, in my opinion. So he's going to help you there where the Saints really needed some help, especially in that nickel position, which I think, again, he's going to play that slot corner and do really good, in my opinion. and he's going to help the Saints a ton, because I do end up thinking that the Saints will be doing is they're going to put Marcus Williams at free safety. They're going to put Chauncey Gardner-Johnson at strong safety, and that most of the time, but then he'll kind of be playing kind of what he usually does, that rover role, and then he'll allow Malcolm Jenkins to play the slot, and if there's no slots, then they'll kind of move it around to have, because, I mean, Jenkins can play so many different positions. I think they're going to take advantage of him and play him in the slot, especially against, you know, your big, more physical slot receivers. Maybe against the more fast ones, you're going to put Garner Johnson or PJ Williams on him. You could do so many different things because you have all these guys that are very versatile there. And I do think he helps the secondary a lot, and he's going to make them better. I think the Saints did get much better in the secondary because they're going to have Janoris Jenkins. They're going to have Lattimore. First of all, those two are going to be really good together. And then you're going to have Marcus Williams in the free safety position. Strong safety, I mean, in this case, it seems like it will be Garner Johnson or Jenkins, and then the slot will either be Williams or Jenkins. That's a solid group. As I said before, when you have six starting, basically, secondary players, that's big. That's really good. That's what you want. And I think the Saints do have it. And I do think Jenkins is a really good addition. I mean, the only reason I said that you're not going to give him an A is because Von Bell, you could have probably upgraded that. Like, if they upgraded that linebacker, like an impact player, like they added Jenkins, but they added a linebacker instead, and they brought back Von Bell, maybe you'd see a little better from this defense. But this is still a great move, and, I mean, it's a player that Sean Payton didn't want to miss out on. So, I mean, he got that. So that's obviously really, really big there. And then finally, our number one signing this offseason, you guys all know who it is. It happened that Friday after the free agency started, in kind of a surprise here. Emmanuel Sanders. He's going to be a really big help to the Saints here, wide receiver core here. I mean, you give him a 2-year, $60 million deal with a cap hit of $4 million, which is obviously really good. Really good deal because, I mean, you're looking at his market value per spot rack, and that was 2 years, $20 million, so this is going to be lower than that. I'm going to give it an A, A+. I mean, 66 catches, 869 yards, and 5 touchdowns. And this is when he was, like, changing teams. Really, no wide receiver is going to do good midway when they switch teams like that. And he did. He did good. Really solid. If he put that stat line next year, you'd be very happy. Because that's a lot better than what the Saints were getting at their number two last year, for sure. But then the year before, in 12 games, he had 71 catches, 868 yards, excuse me, there, and 4 touchdowns. And that's in 12 games. So then really, I mean, you could obviously do it over 16 games and kind of see what he'd have in that season. He's a player that could play the slot, could play the outside. Sean Payton's going to have a field day with him. Play the slot, play the outside. Really good over-the-middle threat in that 20-yard range, 20 yards or fewer, 30 yards or fewer. He's really good at catching the ball in traffic over the middle, which the Saints had trouble with last year. Perfect guy for the Saints. The fit is like a glove. It's perfect. And that's why I'm going to give him an A+. It was just, I didn't think the Saints would get him. I thought he was going to be priced out of the Saints, and the Saints come up big and get him. I mean, I was watching some film on him. I mean, he high points the ball really well. He catches the ball in traffic over the middle really well. Catches the ball on the sideline very well. Really good slot routes. Really good outside routes. Has a speed that can win. He also has the speed that can win in the short distance, long distances. He's going to pair perfectly with Michael Thomas, in my opinion. Both of those guys, I mean, have a lot of versatility because Thomas could play the slot and outside. Sanders could play the slot and the outside. Saints are most likely going to add another wide receiver in the draft. I think this wide receiving group is going to be one of the best. If they can add a wide receiver in the draft, it's going to be one of the best in the league, in my opinion. And Drew Brees is going to really have a field day with it. I think it's going to be really big there. And it's a huge signing. It's just a really, really big signing. I mean, he's a 2-time Pro Bowler. He's a 3-time player in the Super Bowl. He's won a Super Bowl. He's a player he's going to help the Saints a lot. And when he teamed up with like the best quarterbacks, with Peyton Manning, a lot of people, he said this situation reminds me of that. He's like, I was coming in playing with Peyton Manning and a great offense, and I went off. Could be the same. It could be the same. It's going to be very, very interesting to see what the Saints do here. And I'm very, very happy to put this as my number one because this is a big move. Really big move. I mean, I was high on Breshad Perriman. I mean, Emmanuel Sanders is, I mean, 3 times as good as Breshad Perriman. So to me, that's just really good. And he's going to do a lot of great things. There's a great catch rate. I mean, he's just I mean, he's a great player. I mean, he's going to be a player that's going to really help the Saints out. He's also good in the trick play stuff. He could do the end around. He could really spread you out, which I thought was really big with the 49ers. With the 49ers, I feel like with him, they just took the next step as a team, as an offense, and I think that's going to be the same with the Saints. So that, to me, that's just a really big signing. Overall, I'm going to give the Saints, I said this in the last episode, but I'm going to give them an A-. They're just missing that one piece. Hopefully, they'll get it in the draft, which is great, but to me, they're just missing one linebacker to really hold down the fort for the Saints. Again, and if they do get a linebacker in the first round, A offseason. To get an A-plus offseason, you would sign a Nigel Bradham, and then you would also get the best available player at 24. I think that would be really big. So now, I'm just going to give you my needs here for the draft right now, because really, free agency is over. Maybe you sign one more player, but right now, the Saints are at $5 million under the cap, and you're going to have to pay $4 million around for the draft and all those guys. You have to pay those guys, so you're really not looking at a lot of space. You're going to have to restructure another guy. So if a restructuring happens, then I think the Saints will make another move. If a restructuring doesn't happen, I don't think we will make another move, and I think that's kind of self-explanatory there. But here are kind of my needs for the draft. Number one's linebacker. You got to get that figured out. And I think Patrick Queen, Kenneth Murray, those two guys are going to be your two main guys that I think you should be looking for, that should pick. I mean, if they want to make a splash, you can go out and get Isaiah Simmons, but I don't think that's going to happen. But you never know. Second need for me is wide receiver. I just would love to add, really, if I'm the Saints, I would love to add a linebacker in the first round. Love to add a wide receiver in the third round. The fourth round, I get a cornerback or D lineman. And I think that's, and then you have one more pick, or two more picks, and you can kind of fill out around there. Again, really, after you get a linebacker in the first round, I'd be fine with picking just best player available. I do think the Saints are going to move up in the second round. I don't know. That's just my kind of what I'm feeling right now. It's just my instinct. I have no report on it, but that I just have a feeling that's going to happen. And that would be pretty interesting too. But I mean, they're probably going to make one more surprise move either in the draft or in free agency. It's just, I mean, that's also kind of my feeling. I think it's going to come in the draft, but I wouldn't be surprised if they went out and signed a free agent. Or trade for an impact player. I mean, we'll have to see. It's going to be obviously very, very interesting coming in here for sure. But I think with all that said, it is time to wrap up this podcast. If you like what we're doing here at the Who Dat Discussion and haven't followed us on our various social media accounts, you can follow us on Twitter at the Who Dat Dis, on Instagram at Who Dat Discussion, and then you can follow me personally on Twitter at Andrew Galata. Some personal news: I just started writing for 12 Up. And I'll be writing for not only about Saints content, but a lot of other sports. So if you're just big sports fans, definitely check that out. And I would love you guys to read my articles, read my stuff, and give me some feedback on it. I mean, I'm just starting to write and learn that stuff. And I'm really excited about it, really having a fun time with it. And I'll be doing more for them in the weeks to come. And it should be great. I'm going to obviously try to put out some Saints content, which I'm hoping to do all their Saints content. But obviously, they put out a lot of other content as well, which I'll be helping them on top of that stuff. So that's just kind of what I'm hoping to do with them. And hopefully you guys will see more articles from that site on the Saints, and hopefully I'll be writing them. So that's really interesting stuff as well. And I'm really happy to have this opportunity and join 12 Up, because there's some really good opinions on there. I mean, some people I saw were like talking about some of the Saints opinions on there. I think all that stuff, I mean, it's great to have opinion articles. I love those. I eat them up. Any Saints content, I eat up. So that's going to add in. Hopefully I can create some on there as well. So that's kind of the dream there and the goal for being on that site and be writing for them. And I'm just really happy about that as well. And thank you guys for all the support always. You guys have been the best. Who Dat Nation's been the best, as you guys always are. I just said that in my last episode, 150 episode. You guys have been the best through this whole process, and I can't wait to continue covering the Saints, writing about the Saints, giving my opinions about the Saints, because you guys are just it's great to communicate and share our opinions and all that stuff about our favorite teams. And I hope to continue that with 12 Up and the podcast and all that fun stuff. I mean, I just love it, and I'm hoping to continue that for, I mean, as long as I can. So with all that said, I want to say thank you, run it back, and Who Dat. Hey, you are a savior.